in the immediate aftermath of 9/11, we did some things that were wrong. We did a whole lot of things that were right, but we tortured some folks.
That's President Barack Obama last year referring to so-called enhanced interrogation techniques used by the CIA after the September 11th attacks, and a warning to listeners that some aspects of our upcoming conversation may be disturbing. Waterboarding, chaining detainees naked for weeks or months at a time, stress positions, and forced rectal feedings were among the techniques used during the Bush administration in an effort to get terrorism suspects to talk. A scathing new report released yesterday by the advocacy group Human Rights Watch says those who authorized and engaged in the abuses should be investigated and possibly prosecuted so the U.S. never tortures again. Ken Roth is executive director of Human Rights Watch. He joins me in the studio. Welcome to Here and Now.
It's great to be here, Indira. Thanks for having me.
So, Ken, you're releasing your report a year after the U.S. Senate Select Committee released a heavily redacted version of its nearly 7,000-page investigation of the CIA's rendition, detention, and interrogation techniques. That report was scathing, too. Here's Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein talking about it on the Senate floor.
Detainees were subjected to the most aggressive techniques immediately, stripped naked, diapered, physically struck, and put in various painful stress positions for long periods of time.
So what does your report add to the record that we already have about what the CIA did to detainees after 9/11?
Well, our point is that it's been a year since the Senate report, and there's a year left to go in the Obama administration. And sadly, nothing has happened since the Senate report to try to hold to account the people who ordered, authorized, or carried out the torture. In fact, you know, it almost seems silly, but the Obama administration is under strict instructions not to read the report for fear that it would then become an executive rather than a congressional document and therefore could be subject to Freedom of Information Act requests.
They haven't even read the Senate report, you're saying?
Precisely.
Wow.
It's crazy. And so this is all, you know, we don't even have kind of the full revelation of the truth, let alone prosecution. And President Obama, you know, if you talk to him about it, says, well, I stopped torture. I stopped it right at the beginning. My administration hasn't tortured. That's good enough. And indeed, there's even been some tightening of the rules. But I think what the Senate report shows is that if the rules are not enforced, they will be flouted again. Because inevitably, the United States is going to face another severe security threat. And some future president is going to be tempted to torture again. Indeed, some of the presidential candidates now are already saying they would torture, although they use the enhanced interrogation technique euphemism. So, you know, the lesson so far is that if you torture, you can get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so this has really become a legacy question for President Obama.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, he stopped the torture. But does he want his legacy to be the president who allowed torture to remain a policy option? The only way to close off that policy option is to make clear that this is not just a crime written in the laws. This is a crime that will be enforced. And those people who order, authorize, or undertake the torture will be subjected to criminal investigation and ideally prosecution.
All right. Well, let's step back and look at what happened at the time. A former CIA agent named Glenn Carl apparently questioned his superiors about what he was being asked to do at the time and was told it was fine, it was legal. Let's listen to something he told your group.
The word torture was never used. What I was told was, you will do whatever it takes to get this man to talk. Do you understand? And I said, well, we would need at least a presidential finding, which means a direct order from the president to do something like that. And he said, well, we have it. We're covered.
So the CIA has insisted that this program was authorized from the top and legal based on the so-called torture memos from the Justice Department's Office of Legal Counsel. Your report disputes the legality of those practices.
Well, there's no question that the torture was torture. But yes, indeed, the Justice Department at the highest levels put out the notorious torture memos saying the torture wasn't torture. And the CIA has been waving those around and saying, look it, we relied in good faith on legal counsel, so therefore you can't prosecute us. And what I think we now know, based in part on the Senate report and part on other reports, is that there was no good faith in this reliance, that indeed senior policymakers in both the CIA and the White House, recognizing they had a torture problem, went shopping for a legal solution.
Hmm.
They tried to go to the Justice Department and say, would you promise not to prosecute us?
Mm-hmm.
And the Justice Department, to its credit, refused to give that declination.
Although the Justice Department has in fact investigated this more recently but decided not to pursue charges against anyone. Why not?
That was the so-called John Durham investigation, mm-hmm. and that was a very narrow investigation looking at basically did anybody exceed the orders. They only looked at two cases in detail. Even then, they didn't talk to the victims, so they don't even know the most basic direct evidence of how those orders were exceeded. And in those two cases, they decided not to pursue anything. But we basically don't have a broad investigation into, you know, first of all, the legality of these practices, because we know that this was not an honest legal assessment of the torture program. This was basically a twisted justification to try to justify the unjustifiable. So the lawyers as well as the senior people who sought this opinion were part of the conspiracy. This is not, you know, good faith reliance on a legal opinion. This is just creating a legal cover in advance.
All right.
So what we're asking now is really that there be a new authorization. The White House has never, apart from this Durham investigation, allowed a genuine, broad-based investigation of the torture. And you know, the legal argument that there was good faith reliance on counsel just doesn't work when you look at the evidence. The other big factor has frankly been political. President Obama has not wanted to open up the divisive question of the past.
Well, let me ask you that, because President Obama himself has said the U.S. used torture. He agrees with you that it's illegal under U.S. and international law. So why isn't he pushing for prosecution?
Well, exactly. And I think, you know, one is this misguided view of good faith reliance on counsel. The other is frankly political. And I remember meeting with President Obama early on, and it was quite clear that there were just other priorities at the time, and they were important priorities. There was healthcare reform, there was immigration reform, there was climate change. And there was a long period where President Obama thought, I'm going to try to reach out to the center and I'm not going to do something that might antagonize them. But what we've seen since the last midterm elections is that in other areas, President Obama has abandoned this cooperation strategy because it's not getting him anyplace. Mm. And so on immigration reform, he's going his own way. On climate change, he's going his own way. Prosecuting for torture could be done simply by executive action. There's no need for congressional legislation. We hope that President Obama, as a matter of his legacy, will do the right thing here as he's trying to do the right thing on immigration and climate change.
All right. Well, who would you like to see charged in connection with the CIA torture program, and how realistic is that ask?
There really are two ways to look at this. One is, you know, who were the top people who were orchestrating this conspiracy to torture? And so there we are looking at senior officials in the CIA and the White House.
All the way up to President George W. Bush himself?
Conceivably. But certainly Cheney, certainly David Addington, his chief aide, certainly people like Tenet, the CIA director at the time, John Rizzo, who was acting as general counsel to the CIA at the time. So yes, senior officials. The other type of person to look at is that when you look at the torturers themselves, in many cases, they went way beyond the torture that was authorized by the so-called torture memos. Even John Yoo, the principal author of those memos, said, God, I didn't know some of this was going to be going on. Hmm. And so, you know, even if you're going to accept that Justice Department document, there was a lot of torture that went way beyond it. And those people, the actual interrogators and their immediate bosses, could be prosecuted as well.
All right. Well, several former CIA directors who were interviewed for a new documentary, we had the filmmaker on the show last week, insist that they got good information from enhanced interrogation that prevented new attacks. Even President Obama's former CIA chief, Leon Panetta, said on film that if there were an imminent threat, it would be very hard not to resort to every method possible. What do you say to that?
Well, you know, there are some people who claim the torture so-called worked. I think the dominant view today is that it was an utter failure, that the best way to get information from a suspect is to develop some rapport, to get them talking, and that when you squeeze people, you get a lot of misinformation. They'll say whatever they think the torture wants them to say. It's largely seen as a technique that doesn't work, but it also completely lowers the esteem of the United States, because the most important way to learn about terrorist plots is to gain the confidence of the communities around the would-be terrorists. And they are much less likely to cooperate with law enforcement if they think that doing so may subject their neighbors or even themselves to torture. So it's now widely understood that engaging in human rights abuse is the last thing you do if you want to really open up the information flow that you need to stop terrorist plots.
Hmm. Well, you say that it's well known, but some of the Republican candidates for president have expressed support for the old methods. Let's listen to the front runner in the Republican field, Donald Trump.
They chop off heads. And one of the announcers asked me the other day, one of the Talking Heads, actually. I said, why do I think of waterboarding? Well, do you want to go a step further than waterboarding? Because I'm okay with that, too.
Is this why you're bringing this up now?
This is exactly why it's not enough for President Obama to have stopped the torture himself. He basically says, yes, there's a criminal law against torture, but if the next president tortures, I've done nothing during my presidency to close off that policy option. You know, yes, these are difficult prosecutions, but if an established democracy like the United States can't bring its torturers to justice, how do you expect more precarious democracies around the world to do the same? And I hope that President Obama recognizes in his final year in office that his legacy should be one of justice, of rule of law, rather than impunity for torture.
Ken Roth is executive director of Human Rights Watch. You can read his group's report on CIA torture and his call for prosecution at hereandnow.org. Ken, thanks so much for speaking with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.